I'm here to tell you this morning that I don't know what your drama is. I want you to know that we could put our faith in a God who keeps his promises, our faith in a God who rewards patience, our faith in a God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of Pastor Brian Grant's message, which we heard last week, we learned these truths about God that importantly inform a life of faith. God keeps his promises and he rewards patience. The second part of that message, which airs this evening, builds on those truths by once again looking at the life of Abraham to discover some essential keys to actually living a life characterized by faith. Pastor Grant's main text will again be taken from Genesis chapter 21, so if you have your Bible, please turn there with us as we listen to Pastor Grant bring the concluding part of his message entitled Living by Faith. Here again is Pastor Grant.
The communion set got held up in the mail. And while the communion set was on the way, come on somebody, 6 people got saved. The communion set was on the way. 6 people got saved. By the time the communion set got there, that very next Sunday, the Moffats and their 6 converts formed the first Christian church in Botswana and celebrated communion. God had rewarded their patience. Here's a key verse to remember. I shared this a week ago with a group, and I'm going to put it up on the board. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. You know, there are some verses in the Bible you really ought to memorize, because there are some verses that sometimes you got to grab a hold of. And I just want you to know, minister, worker, whatever it is, here's what it says. Galatians 6, 9. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Don't get weary in well-doing, for in due season, you will reap if you do not lose heart. What have we learned so far? We have learned God keeps his promises. Amen? And we have learned that God rewards what? Patience. But third, we also need to learn about God, that God displays his power. In Genesis chapter 21, verse number 2, the Bible tells us that Abraham was old. He was 100, and Sarah, by the way, was 90. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, you need not turn there for sake of time, but in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, the Bible tells us that Sarah, listen good, Sarah was past the age, you know what age, right? Sarah was past the age, and here's what it says about Abraham. And Abraham was as good as dead. Do you understand? You got it? She was past the age, and nothing was happening with Abraham that could help him to produce children. Somebody say amen. But God showed up and displayed his power. I don't think you got what God did. Turn to Genesis 25, and then you see how much power God displayed. Because some people think the power only lasted for Isaac. But look at Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Abram, again, Sarah is now dead. Abraham took again a wife. Did you know that? Her name was Keturah, and she bore him, let's count, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, Shua. Pastor, did you say he was as good as dead? see what happens when God shows up? This man was as good as dead, but God displays his power. Listen, I want you to know that God will intervene in our lives. Deism is false. You say, Pastor, what is deism? Do you know many of our founding fathers were deists? Not all were Christians. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we Christians have to be careful. Anytime anybody say about God, we figure they're Christians. Listen, there are a whole lot of folks who talk about God and have no idea who Jesus is. But here's what a deist believes. Deism believes that God created the world, but after God created the world, he no longer intervenes. It's like a clockmaker who makes an incredible clock, a watch. He makes a fabulous watch. He winds the watch up and he leaves it alone. And he goes about his business. Oh yeah, that's what a deist believes. A deist believes that God made the world, but he no longer intervenes. But I'm here to tell you, that's not my God. My God intervenes. And I want you to know, my friend, because it's possible you're here and there's some drama in your life and you're wondering where in the world you're going to turn. I'm suggesting that you turn to God, that you turn to Jesus, because Jesus has the power. We just saw how much power he had as we talked about Abraham and Sarah. Amen? And this God is willing to use that type of power in your life and your life and your life and my life. Amen? I remember when we were teenagers, our family, we almost lost our house. They came, they took the car, they notified us they were coming to take the house. But my God, he intervened. And I'm here to tell you this morning that I don't know what your drama is. I want you to know that we could put our faith in a God who keeps his promises, our faith in a God who rewards patience, our faith in a God who displays his power and will intervene in our lives. But listen, God displays his power. He will intervene. But it's important that we know that God often delays his intervention. He often delays his intervention. He made Abraham and Sarah wait until they were as good as dead, so that Isaac's birth. So let me tell you, do you think when they had the baby, Abraham felt that it was all because of him? Who got the glory? Do you realize sometimes the reason God is waiting? Do you realize why God sometimes hasn't done his thing yet? Do you realize that sometimes God wants our backs to be totally against the wall so that the only place we can look is up? Amen. Sometimes he wants to squeeze us in a box and the only place we can look and say, God, I will lift my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Sometimes he will do that. He will wait so that at the end of the day, God gets the glory. Perhaps that's what's happening in your situation. But I want you to know, I want you to hold on to this God who keeps his promises. This God who rewards patience. And this God who has the power and intervenes in the affairs of his people. The rewards of faith. But I need to talk to you before I sit down. I need to talk to you also about the resolve of faith. Because I need you to realize that living by faith is not aimless drifting. Living by faith is not taking whatever comes my way. Living by faith requires resolve. Living by faith requires resolve, a firm determination to live for God. And sometimes I think that's missing. Sometimes I think too many Christians have put the car in neutral. Do you know I've discovered that the car doesn't go very far when it's in neutral? Have you noticed that? Listen, Sometimes you've got to make a decision to put it in D. Amen. You got to make a decision. Listen, young person, older person, have you made a resolve? Have you made a decision that you're going to live for God? Resolve number one, a resolve to live in obedience. And so in Genesis chapter 21, verse number 4, we read a very simple thing. And here's what it says in Genesis 21, 4. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded. Abraham, you may say this was no big deal, but listen, I intended to talk this morning about the importance of details, but God took it, so I won't say much about it. But let me just say in passing, details matter to God. I'm sure he's going to let us talk about that another day, because we're in a Christian era where it's almost as if, oh, it's not a big deal. Details matter to God. You look through your Bible and you are blown away with the amount of details. God specified this, all these details. Details matter to God. And so here we have Abraham following God in the details. Are you committed to obeying God in the details? Are you? Don't miss this. Our lives are not determined by the dreams we dream, but by the choices we make. Can I say that again? Our lives are not determined by the dreams. Teenager, did you get that? Teenager, did you get that? Our lives are not determined by the dreams we dream, but by the choices we make. Too many have had great dreams. My heart literally breaks. You know, I've spent all these years in a business, ministries, that I have to deal with a lot of people. And my heart breaks to see so many people who had great dreams but made bad choices. And I want you to know, it's not the dream. Dream all you want. But listen, you better make right choices. And I am here to tell you, there is no better choice than you can make than the choice to obey God, to make a decision in your heart that no matter what it is, no matter how tough what God asks you to do is, you are going to obey God. I am hoping that somebody this morning will make that decision. God, make that resolve. I am going to obey God in all my choices.
Please stay tuned for the conclusion of today's message. On Sunday, April 9th through Sunday, May 7th, Pastor Grant will be presenting a series of messages based on the book, The Case for Christ. This is the true story of an award-winning investigative journalist and avowed atheist who applies his well-honed journalistic and legal skills to disprove the newfound Christian faith of his wife with unexpected life-altering results. Join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as Pastor Grant presents a Bible-based message integrating historical, reasoned, and evidential basis for our Christian faith. And now we rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
I'm going to choose God's way, but secondly, not only a resolve to live in obedience, but a resolve to live by the Spirit. Let's look here at Genesis chapter 29, verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. You remember the name of the son? What was the name of this son? Ishmael. Ishmael was scoffing. Verse 10, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the latter, because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. Ishmael, by the way, was about 17 years by this time. And in that culture, sometimes 17-year-old, it was an old enough kid to go out and fend for himself. But verse 9 says he was scoffing. And when you come, some commentators say that the word that's used there could imply that there may have been some physical harm that was going on. And when you get, we'll soon read it in Galatians, we'll soon read it in Galatians chapter 4, it is very likely that there was physical harm being done by Ishmael to Isaac. This may be one of the cases of bullying. Regardless of the details, God told Abraham to listen to his wife and send the Ishmael away. Why? Ha ha ha. And I'm not going to go into the practical aspects of it, but I want you to know, because the point I'm raising here, we need to have a resolve to live by the Spirit. And so you might be sitting there this morning, and I hope you're sitting there wondering, what in the world does this have to do with living by the Spirit? Would you like me to tell you? Would you like me to tell you? Yes. Oh, I thought you would never ask. So to answer that question, what does this have to do with living by the Spirit? Flip in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. Flip in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. And I'm going to pick up here at verse number 22. Verse number 22 of Galatians chapter 4. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic. Interesting, isn't it? For these are the two covenants. Jump down for sake of time to verse 28. Now we brethren, as Isaac was, come on now, are children of who? Which, okay. But as he who was born according to the flesh, that's who? Ishmael was born according to the flesh. Notice what the Bible says. What did he do? He persecuted. No, you didn't see that word in Genesis. Isn't this interesting? Galatians is saying that Ishmael persecuted him who was born according to the. Are you seeing it? It's the flesh and the spirit. Ishmael is representing the flesh. Isaac is representing the spirit. Even so it is now, the apostle says. And in verse 30, he makes a profound statement. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? And the apostle Paul makes a spiritual application. What does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Listen, this. What is the principle? The principle is, if we are going to have victory, we have got to deal with the flesh. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Listen, if we are going to have victory, we are going to have to live by the Spirit and deal with the flesh. I must make a resolve to live by the Spirit. And this whole casting out of Ishmael is symbolic. And God is using that to teach us a much deeper lesson. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And I'll read a verse or two before I quit. Romans chapter 8. Oh, I wish we had time to preach the whole thing. But Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 9, here's what it says. For those, are you with me? If you're there, say amen. Amen. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Oh, let me just ask you, where's your mind? A young person, older person, where's your mind? Is it on the things of the flesh? Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Listen, those who are living by the Spirit are concerned about the things of the Spirit, the things that would please God. And sometimes if we're not careful, if we be honest, sometimes we're more captivated by the things of the flesh. apostle says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But praise God, it's possible to be in the spirit. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If the spirit of Christ dwells with you, and here's my parting phrase. If anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. My friend, what's your focus? What an amazing story. Genesis 21, the reward of faith. God. Aren't you glad you have a God who keeps his promises? Are you glad? Are you glad you have a God who rewards patience? Are you glad you have a God who will display his power? Well, my Christian friend, if you have that type of God, would you this morning resolve to obey him? Resolve to live by the Spirit? Resolve. I am going to live to please God. But it's possible that you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure the Spirit of God lives in you. And the verse says, if the Spirit of God does not live in you, you are not a Christian. You see, sometimes people think that all they needed to do was to make a decision in some church service. No, listen. If the Spirit of God does not live in you, you're not saved. You say, Pastor, how do I know? Well, that's a message in its own. But let me just say two quick things. For sure, if you have not opened your heart, if there was never a day when you said, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin and I ask you to come into my heart. Listen, if you have never done that, he's not living in you. But guess what? If God's Spirit does not witness with your spirit, if there's not something inside of you where the Spirit of God gives you an assurance that you're saved, probably he's not there. Because one of the things the Spirit of God does, he gives us the assurance. And then another thing he does, he gives us the conviction. Anytime we're about to do wrong. Listen, if you find you can keep sinning and it doesn't bother you, probably you're not saved. I want to pray for somebody today. I want to pray this morning for that person who wants to say to God, God, I want to resolve to walking in obedience and to living by your Spirit. I want to pray for that person. And I also want to pray for that person who said, Lord Jesus, I want to make sure I'm saved.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. Or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.